The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. I'm Josh Zinke. Tony O and The Miz is on the other side of the glass. We're talking about the Orange Bowl loss, 33-32. We're taking your calls well as well at 998-1050. Tony O, you have some news to pass along.
Yeah, per Bruce Feldman, Michigan defensive coordinator Don Brown will get a new five-year deal that'll average close to $1.4 million per year.
Very nice to have Don Brown back. Well, it's really just a structuring of a new deal, but gets more money out of it. And he did do a great job for the Wolverines. And so another year, another 5 years of Don Brown as the DC. I think that's great. I think that's good. You want to see that? You want to see, because of last year we lost a couple coaches. This year it looks like we'll probably lose none. I don't know that there's always some that could open up, but as far as looking at the coaches, it looks like everyone's going to stay put, which helps not just for the coaches, helps with the players, so on and so forth. But let's get back into your phone calls. Let's go to Rod in Woodhaven. Rod, talk to me.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah.
I think the main factor, you know, for the loss last night and then also going back to Iowa is Ohio State comes down to, you know, the offensive line. I mean, it's just pathetic that they weren't able to do what they needed to do. The caller, I think, just before talked about you can't punch it in from the one-yard line. I mean, they just whiffed and darn near got Davion killed in the backfield.
Yep.
You know, that comes down to the inefficiency of just, I mean, they just got manhandled last night. And then, you know, the Iowa game, you know, they couldn't grind out, you know, just a matter of a couple yards, first down, you know, just to kill the clock. And I think that's got to be what Harbaugh is probably most frustrated about, their inability, you know, because that's not the type of, you know, team he likes to have. So definitely look to see growth as far as coming in the years, you know, with that. So it'll be interesting what they bring in and, you know, how many guys they can get to step up to, you know, really play that physical ball and, you know, quit getting manhandled.
Right. And as I said before, Rod, thanks for the call. It's year two. I don't believe any one of these guys was a Harbaugh recruit. And you have to think how, if you look at Hoke's teams versus Harbaugh's teams, who would you rather have as coach? Who would you rather have teaching your young players, getting them better? Who's going to have better recruits? Hoke was a good recruiter. He did get some of those line guys that maybe Harbaugh didn't. But Harbaugh's going to get those guys now with them being up there in the rankings. You saw that. We've got a few guys. It's just moving those guys. Those guys have been there for 4 years. You got to move them. You can't be like, all right, well, we're going to take this guy. Because it's one of those positions that it takes a lot of teaching to get to where you are. Now, obviously, on that one-yard play where Devion almost looked bad as the Clowney play from years ago where no one blocked him, Cole, for some reason, I think it was going that way, and that's why everybody blocked to their right. Means get another guy out there so that way when you have a guy free at the end of your line. But yes, number four for Florida State was able to come right through that gap, and Cole, he looked at him, then turned and helped the guard, and then he was able to come right through right behind him and get in there for that stop. Is that totally offensive line? Because, okay, if he does what he's supposed to do and just looks straight up and puts his hands up, yes, he does block him, but does Devion... Is that going to let someone else free to have Devion get around that edge? I don't think so. Now, obviously, it's easy to look at it and say, when we saw it happen, oh, that guy's unblocked, and point it out. But then again, we're out there in the field. Think of it being down there and putting a helmet on and just having your limited view. And then you have to think of whatever the play was called. If the blocking was that everyone was supposed to block down one, then it's not on Mason Cole. It's on the guard. Or if maybe it's not. Maybe it's like, hey, let that guy come through free because we're going to come over. We're running to the right side anyways, and we don't care about the guys on the left. That's things to think of before you just go ahead and blame the guy or blame Cole for the one guy coming through. Let's keep moving on. Let's talk to Ron in Beverly Hills. Talk to me.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, no, the caller before me stole the under a bit, but it was definitely the offensive line. It was not Devian. I didn't think it was Devian. I didn't think it was Wilton. I thought it was offensive line, and I thought it was team speed.
Okay, true.
If you look at their linebackers versus our linebackers, we just could not contain anything Dalvin Cook would run on the outside. And, that's really where I thought was the biggest issue. I thought Devian was he had no holes to run into, and I thought Wilton was just, when you got that D-line, I forgot what the guy's name was, running at you full speed, you're going to be scared. You're going to be scared for that game.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, Ron, for giving us a call. Yeah, you're right. You're right on what you say. Wilton didn't have enough time. Maybe it wasn't all on Devian Smith, the 36 yards that he had. Because obviously, if Wilton doesn't have enough time to throw, then Devion's not going to have enough time to find a hole. And I know we want to blame the offensive line, blame those guys, and it's easiest to do. But maybe the Florida State defensive line and linebackers were just better. And as far as Dalvin Cook, he was the best running back they saw all year. Barkley's good. Samuel, yeah. You know, whatever. He's an Ohio State guy, so I'm not going to give him credit anyways. But obviously, when we saw Cook's speed, and the one guy that probably could keep up with him pulled a hammy and wasn't going to play. That's one of those things. When you have speed, you can't teach that. And that's why Cook was, leads Florida State all time in rushing yards and in touchdowns. Because the guy has speed, and he can hold on to a football. And it's going to be very hard. Even if you have one guy, all right, that's your guy. You're going to key on him. All he has to do is get to the outside and get one block, and he's gone. Michigan did very well containing him pretty much almost every play, except for the 170-yard, But then again, now I look at the numbers, 20 attempts for 145 yards. 71 was his longest. So, 19 for 74? It's not the best, but it's good. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought we did a pretty good job with Dalvin Cook because he was by far the fastest running back we've played this year. I mean, not even close. I mean, all the hype about him coming into the game was true because, he would also slow down and he could read blocks and read the gaps well, but his burst when he would turn it on, blows everyone else out of the water.
You think it helps his draft stock after that?
Yeah, and I think, we saw ESPN wanted to see the Peppers versus Dalvin Cook. They clearly were geared up for... They had to have produced a lot of content beforehand for that. So when they found out Peppers wasn't playing, you could tell they were like, oh, my God, we just wasted all that
right.
money.
Yeah, there's somebody making, minimum wage somewhere like, I just put all those great graphics together and I just did this. And there's so much film we just put together and you're telling me we can't use it? You sure? Like when someone said, hey, he's injured. Well, you sure? You don't want to just don't say nothing. Just say he's not in this play. Because we have to use all this stuff quick. And maybe I think pregame they used some of it because they knew that this is the last time they're going
to
be able to actually
talk
about
it. That's why it was so slow to get to ESPN that Jabril wasn't playing. It's because they needed to get through as many commercials as they could with it.
Right, yeah, because they needed to do that. And maybe it was – because that was their superstar as far as Heisman Week was concerned. He was the first guy in the first chair. Mm-hmm. And he's their next Tebow. And for him not to be out there really just Tebowed it, all right, let's take our next call. Let's talk to Ken in Burton. Ken, talk to me.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I completely disagree with Gary. Davian Smith runs hard. He's a leader. I'd take 11 Davian Smiths any day of the week. It's pretty hard to run when they're in your backfield the whole game.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion. And also, I heard rumor that Coach Harbaugh wanted Jabril up in the press box during the game. I just can't understand why he wasn't down on the field with his teammates. And maybe you guys have an opinion or some answers about that.
So tell me what you heard and actually where you heard it from.
I just read it on the internet is all I read it. That Coach Harbaugh, he said after the game, Coach Harbaugh wanted him up in the press box during the game instead of down on the side. I just don't understand that.
Okay.
I would think he'd want to be down on the sideline with his teammates.
Let me talk, Tonio. Go ahead. See you.
That's a quote from Jabril. They interviewed him in the locker room after the game, and that's what he said. He said Harbaugh wanted him, Coach Harbaugh. I think he's. I don't have the direct quote in front of me. It was like Coach Harbaugh made me go up to the press box because he didn't want it to be a spectacle. He didn't want me being on the sideline to be a spectacle. So,
ooh.
So I don't know. I mean, kind of interesting.
All right, I didn't see that.
I think that was during the post-game interview. I think Angelique actually mm-hmm. tweeted that interview out.
Yeah.
That was obviously during the interview where he bawled about the hammy.
Not bawled.
You know, he bawled so hard.
He bawled so hard, yeah, exactly.
But it's kind of interesting. I mean,
go ahead, Antonio.
To call it, you know, because like, I mean, if it was just, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting term to use. I mean, for sure, ESPN would have been, you know, zooming in, right? You know,
well, it would have been like how Fox Sports, when Harbaugh's first game against Utah, they had the khaki right, cam. Right, it would have right, been right. the Peppers cam.
Right.
Spicy.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. I didn't know that, but let me go ahead and give you my thoughts on what you guys have just both told me. Now, during the game, there was a Willie Henry, former lineman, was on the field, and you know, guys go on and off the field, and at a certain point, he was just left by himself, just watching the game. And, you know, more likely he had a ticket somewhere. He could have went box or a seat. And then when they came back and were leading, he was in the middle of the line talking to them. He was in there pumping them up saying, we got the lead now. We can do this. We can make this stop. And now you're telling me that a guy that's not even on the team, not even a part of the team, he just went to Michigan, was doing that. And Peppers was told by Coach Harbaugh, hey, I don't want you on our sideline, a member of the team who's just out with an injury, unless Harbaugh thinks differently, that he wasn't injured, and told him, we don't want you on our sideline, we want you in the press box. Now, they showed Peppers in the press box. He's behind three or four guys. I'm not even sure he could see the field. That, to me, is shocking because I would think if there's one guy that I've told you all year long on this show that was the guy that was responsible for the Colorado win was Peppers, because he went there and took the game over himself, but he also was doing great work on the sidelines telling them, hey, you guys, we can do this. We can come back from 14 down.
It's interesting you say Willie Henry, because I think, and I might be wrong on this, but I'm fairly confident that in the same postgame interview in the locker room that Peppers said that he was actually texting Willie Henry from like what he was seeing. So very, it may have been what he, you know, Willie Henry may have just been relaying.
Yeah, what, maybe he was the operator.
I believe that's who the name that he said, but he was texting someone on the sideline.
Okay, because that to me is shocking, because I figure he has been the guy, and yes, he wasn't there at the bus, but he was the team MVP. That's the guy you want on the field, even injured or not. Yes, it's more like you're like, all right, we don't want you apart here because of, we don't want, but he's one of the best coaches to have because he's out there. He's a brother. He's one of those guys that they can look to and say, hey, what do you think? And he can tell him because he's been out there all year long. He's been practicing all the way until the injury.
You need that hype, man. I mean,
yes.
I mean, you saw many drives where Wilton Spate came to the sideline and he's looking all bummed out. You know, maybe he had a, you know, either some kind of towel or some gauze on his lip, like he got popped in the mouth. You needed that hype man on the sideline to get him going. You need that hype man, that jump man going.
Yeah, all I've been reading from Twitter this morning is from players saying, you know, I love my brothers. I love all these guys. I love playing for them. I'm sorry for the seniors. I've been seeing that all morning. Now to find out that if that's true, if that's what happened, I'm sorry that I missed that. It upsets me because that's one guy you should have on your sideline, playing or not. Because the guy did give everything he had, over 900 snaps for this team this year, and there would be games that we didn't lose that we would have lost without him. That upsets me to hear that, because hopefully that's wrong. Hopefully it was miscued. Now, I did see a lot also that people are like, hey, more likely Peppers isn't coming back, dude. He's not going to come back. I know you've been pushing it. He's not coming back because obviously after that, and even before the show, as you can tell, this is something new that I found out. But no, I don't like that. I think a guy like that needs to be on the sideline and pumping everyone up and getting everyone hyped up, especially when they were losing, to get them to come back and say that you guys can do this, but as well as when they're ahead. And you know, I don't know if that's a Harbaugh thing that he's done in the past where he's like, hey, you're injured. But I'm sure there's other injured guys walking that sideline wearing Michigan stuff that weren't able to play. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'll have to look and try to figure it out. But, yeah. So maybe he did. Maybe he talked to Willie Henry and said, Henry, go tell these guys this. I'm up here. I'm not allowed to be down there. I was regulated to being up here. I don't know. I don't like it. Let's take a break. When you come back, we'll try to get more into this. I'll try to calm down. You listen to the Playground.